Make sure you get us loud and clear.
Welcome to Used Wigs Radio. Hey!
This is the radio station with nothing but...
Lonely. Download some friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Used Wigs Radio, podcast number 82. Tonight is Thanksgiving Eve. And to get in the spirit of things, we are going to dedicate this show to being thankful. What do you think about that, guys? Think about this as a supersized segment of shouts. Nonstop shouts, us being positive for the whole show. No negativity towards each other or towards any other human being, place, or thing. And we're just going to...
Goodwill
to all, because I think as we are consumers of many different things, music, interweb stuff, books, events, art, we find a lot of good stuff. More good stuff than bad, I would say, correct?
What percentage of things would you say or that we spoke positively versus negatively?
I think our show, we're pretty positive.
Although when we speak negatively about things, the energy level rises.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, we're pretty ferocious about the things that we don't like.
Yeah, but I tell you what, recently, like when we talked about the shows we loved, like when I think we had an episode a few back with Mike Parentozzi just about how great like Modern Family, stuff like that, we got very excited. Mm-hmm. But when we talked about like the world's worst song and stuff like that, we get pretty amped up. But I mean, tonight, I just think there's been a lot of good stuff for us.
2010 is a good year, you would say, for you?
Yeah.
For the country?
Yeah. No, not for the country. I mean, I don't care about the country. I care about me. I care about you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, just because, you know, you're part of the show, and if you guys go away or you're unhealthy, there goes the show. And you know I've tried to replace you, and it didn't work. Remember that six-month period
with
the scrubs?
The
yeah, the fill-ins where you went on strike? I should probably say I'm Jeff Lyons of usewigs.com. Sitting next to me is Todd Marone at toddmarone.com. And, of course, Rusty Static, Rusty Static Studios, and rustystaticcollectibles.com. .info.com.
Do we even identify ourselves as like the writer, the musician, and the artist? I mean, we haven't said that for a long time, and that was kind of when we set out to do this crazy thing 82 episodes ago.
Well,
it was like
I think we could still say you're an artist. Russ is still a musician. I say I'm just a purveyor of nonsense.
You write all the time.
I don't.
You're a great writer,
yeah.
Jeff. Stop it.
No, I think that's still. I think that comes across in what we talk about, right?
Uh-huh.
Your voice sounds really different.
Yeah, this is a disguise.
Mine is dipping into that area because I'm getting sick.
Do you like? I like Todd's voice like this. What do you think, Russ?
I think it's very sultry.
Can I tell you that all of my students, or I shouldn't say all, many of my students were like, "Mr. Brown, your voice sounds so cool. I wish I'd lose my voice." And it's terrible, as I was saying. Like when you rely on enthusiasm and energy to teach your classes over preparation and knowledge, and you can't speak, you just it does nothing. Just me pointing at things.
All right, I know you're obviously a very good teacher. I've talked to students, even without you around, who've had you. And they're all, Mr. Marone's awesome. He's great. He's so cool. When you have to mail it in for a day, I mean, and you try not to act like you're mailing, what do you do? Like, what's your just, listen, I was out last night. I was interviewing a band. I drank a little too much. I was dancing.
Well, it doesn't start with that sentence.
Not anymore.
Class. But, no, yeah, I don't think you do that. I think when... As a you know, teaching is like playing water polo.
Okay,
if
sure.
If you start to relax, you drown. So it's actually, it's easier to push yourself to do the best you can because the level of cooperation and, you know, enthusiasm and response for the students is a lot easier. Because the second you'd be like, at least as a middle school teacher, if I'm like, hey, you know what, guys, you know, do your thing. I got to relax or chill out for whatever reason. That's a disaster. That's a nightmare. It's good. They're excited about that for the first 4 minutes. And they're like, I'm bored. What can we do? Can we go?
Oh, really?
Early? And they just start tearing things apart. They have like a pack of dogs.
Jesus. I don't know how you do it. Kids, jeez. Russ, here's what we're going to do. Here's the format. We'll pick a topic. We'll say music. And then we'll go around. We'll each just take a turn. A minute, say.
I love it.
Like, what's your favorite music of the year? You know, we'll do something like that.
Oh, the year?
Yeah, like, not year so much, just recently, okay?
I don't know what the hell I'm going to say about that.
Well, you can think about it while Todd and I talk. But I'm going to just bring up a topic that, considering it's Thanksgiving,
And one of the big things you do on Thanksgiving before you stuff your gullet is you watch the parades, correct? Do you watch the parades? What do you think of parades? No?
I would like to like parades, I guess, but, you know, I mean, what is there to look at?
The idea of a parade is pretty funny. Like, a bunch of people in a line parading, literally,
just
walking past and showing off whatever it is, the shiny new fire truck or the float.
costumes.
It's kind of a funny thing, you know?
I hated parades. I mean, I just never really enjoyed them. I don't like people that much to be around. I think, like, standing in the street next to people watching a parade is a pretty horrific experience. I don't wish it on anybody. But now, and I think...
You turn the corner, though? You
watching
like
a parade in person is pretty tough.
Pretty tough, right? Yeah. But
you just feel like you're there forever.
Forever.
The parade should stay still, and you should be able to walk by it at your own speed.
That'd be cool.
And then that way people...
And there could be different tracks.
All people who give a shit about these individual acts and things could walk slowly, and we could just like run by, like, all right, I get it, big balloon, I get the flip gun.
Fire truck, tank.
All right, here's the thing.
Karate class.
I equate parades with being cold and rainy, because St. Patrick's Day was a big one by us. My town, Belmar, had the second biggest St. Patrick's Day in New Jersey. And it's just drunk. It's like our claim to fame. Yeah, next to Newark, New Jersey. So it's always, and then Thanksgiving. So it's always just cold and rainy and drunky, you know, and I never enjoyed that. But now that I have kids, I've realized that parades obviously are catered to kids and the floats. But the fun thing I like to do is put on, flip back and forth between the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and then the Philadelphia Parade to get the contrast in, let's say, quality.
Now, which is better?
Well, it depends. If you enjoy kind of like high-end entertainment with great floats, musical numbers, lots of, you know, vim and vigor of the people involved, or if you enjoy high school marching bands and Justin Guarini 6 years removed from, you know, American Idol being the headliner. I have the list of...
Like the relentless waving. Like,
yeah. And the best part is they always put on the newscasters... The low-rung newscasters who just, you know, like, don't want it. The people who put in their time of the day off. But you see, like, one of the new guys.
Right.
He's, like, hour six of the parade. And he has to vamp in between, like, hey, oh, great, we have 3 minutes before the Chester High Band and the Downingtown Central Band. So, you know what the thing about this blacktop is? Do you know the derivation of the word macadam? And you're like, oh, shit, where's he going
Not
with this?
Not unlike us. It would be like us.
Yeah.
Talking
that would actually be the best part of me watching the parade was finding out more about macadam.
Right. But, like, that's kind of, like, just watching that, and there's a lot of that. And these guys aren't professional ad libbers. You know what I mean? The people in Philadelphia parade this year. We have Brandy from Dancing with the Stars, who, you know, Brandy, she was
like a pop star.
She's a pop star.
Just got voted off of Dancing with the Stars.
And then we have Sam Champion from Good Morning America.
This is at the
Philadelphia. Okay. Yeah. And Justin Guarini.
These are the celebrities.
These are celebrities. Three Eagles cheerleaders.
Brandy's actually a pretty big star.
Brandy's
she?
Pretty
was,
big, yeah.
I guess, right?
Yeah. Anyway, but then you go back and forth like with New York, and it's just fun to, you know, like the floats and stuff. And you have little kids. It is kind of enjoyable.
Wasn't last year where they had the one float and then they like did a Rick Roll on it? Was that last year?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oh, Rick Astley actually came out of the float.
Yeah, they were like showing a float and then they like made like a record scratch and Rick Astley jumped out of the float and they did his...
It's still fun when they're in on it, though. Anyway,
yeah,
you know,
like, I hate...
He killed Rick Rolling.
Don't you hate that? Like, here's what I hate. Big fan of The Soup, you know that. I used to watch Soup all the time.
Oh, yeah, and then when they bring the people that they make fun of on...
He'll spend, like, four episodes busting on someone who so deserves to be busted on. Like, the worst reality show you could ever see. You're like, this person is just not human. They're just horrible people. And he's killing them, slaying them, you know, just basically saying they're just, you know, carriers of gonorrhea and they have the brain of a toad. And then the next week... They'll say that, and all of a sudden, that person will jump on camera with him, and they'll hug, and they'll just be like, "Ah, you got me good. Oh, you got me good at night." And then you're like, "Oh man, you just sold out."
I feel like Hasselhoff's career for the last 10 years is like that.
Yeah,
like I hate him, and everybody hates him, and we try to make fun of him, but then there he is, like, reveling it, and you know, acting like he's a part of it.
He really is not talented.
No, and he's really dim-witted as well.
Yeah, you know, the other
so far Thanksgiving show.
Yeah, jeez, we have not.
Think about The Soup.
Off to a glowing start.
Lord,
all the guests that they have on The Soup, it is even when they're good guests, it is very rarely funny. It's usually embarrassing to watch.
Yeah.
Like when Seth Green was on recently, I was just like wincing the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is not funny. The only one that I saw that was funny that I actually was laughing out loud at was when Patrick Warburton, or however you say
Warburton.
His name, Warburton, when he was on recently, he actually had a pretty funny little cameo on that show, and it was actually laughable.
Okay, so we're delving into the negative there. That was probably my fault. So let's get into positive. So I think the first topic we'll hit.
Thanksgiving so far.
Yeah. I think we should talk about music. And I'll say off the bat, I haven't been a big music consumer this year, not as much as I have in the past, even though I just...
Because of lack of things that you're interested in quality, or because your lifestyle has changed?
No, not my lifestyle, just I haven't found that there's enough stuff I like that was
yeah,
like quality.
I agree.
Yeah.
I haven't really prepped for this conversation, but the New Balance Sebastian is really good.
On my list.
Did you like it, really?
Did you like it?
Love it.
Get out of here.
I loved it.
You, in the past, you haven't been a fan, right?
No, I've always liked Balance Sebastian. Never.
Lies.
No.
Lies.
No. You'll look at the tape.
You're both wagging your finger at each other.
Lies. No. We have it on a podcast where you were saying that...
I probably made fun of him.
You were saying that Brian Seymour really liked them. You didn't understand why because they were too twee for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I did. But I like them. You know, that was probably before I had kids. Now, you know what the thing is? Not before I had kids, but before I was listening to music with...
You like sweeter things now?
Yeah, a little bit more that, like, I can play it, and then I'll see a reaction of, like, Juliet enjoying it. But I'll tell you what...
Like, 5 years ago, you can't even mosh to this.
Belle and Sebastian, the first single off that is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking out on the name, but they have a great video for it. It's, like, beautiful, high... Mm.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to go on record and say that album is forgettable as far as...
I liked it.
And I have all their
work. It's really good. Now some of the more 2010 albums are popping up for me.
Todd, what did you like in 2010?
Sylvia Stevens stimped for me in 2010 with the Age of Ads is the album that came out that and I think it was brilliant. I mean, it's like nothing we've heard before from him or anybody else for that matter.
You think that's tough?
Yeah.
To come out with something that's different, even in his specific genre.
He's a futurist.
I don't think that the Age of Ads is as out there as everybody says it is.
Is that right?
I really don't.
Well, you're a musician and a music insider, but I feel to me that sounded very fresh.
To me, the EP was way more adventurous.
The EP,
and
All
way,
Delighted People,
way fresher.
I love, especially the title track that
loved
like
it.
Goes on 15 minutes.
Yep.
Oh,
I love,
so moving.
Love the EP. I really like the album. I absolutely do. But I find it odd that people are talking about it like it's so huge and such a departure, because I don't feel that way.
Well, I would just say that he made the most interesting things in 2010. Right. I like the Black Keys album, Brothers.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, that was a nice, gritty album, you know? And I
love that Sinister Kid. That's on Sinister Kid.
That's,
love it.
Oh, what is Black... I've heard of Black Keys, but I don't think... Is it two guys... Are they a two-man band?
They sound...
Two main guys.
Sounds very gritty, very kind of like raw rock.
Raw, bluesy, bluesy garage kind of. Yeah,
it's
out
on Main Street.
Yeah, okay, all right, I'll check them out. That's on my list. I can, okay.
And Beach House, I know it's cliche, but that song Zebra,
good.
I think that's my favorite song of the year.
Well.
Do you know the song I'm talking about?
Not well.
Oh.
Good.
Yeah, I think.
I have a couple in contention for song
Let's
of the
hear
year.
It.
Well, I'm gonna go for a twofer. Two of my favorite albums on the same record label. And it's not just because this record label is run by a friend of ours. It's Comedy Minus One Records, John Solomon's label. But the album by Trey Orsi and the album by Bottomless Pit. Bottomless Pit is Blood Under the Bridge, Trey Orsi, Devices and Emblems. Love them. It gets me... I probably listen to both those albums at least twice a week since they've come out. You know, this... It's been a while.
And
since
you still consume albums like song after song in order?
Yeah. I mean, these albums... These are like albums. This is like... It harkens back to an era maybe like 8-10 years ago, post-punk, a little past like the Silkworm heyday, more like even past like Jawbox. It's intelligent, confident, mid-tempo post-punk rock, which lyrics are amazing. The guitarist, both bands, really good. Trey Orsi, there's enough fuzz and distortion that I love, and then Bottomless Pit is
now,
just a great listen.
Are these albums that people that you're aware of only because we have a fairly intimate relationship?
No, I guarantee you.
National or international?
Yeah,
releases?
Definitely national. I mean, just because, well, Trey Orsi, not so much. Bottomless Pit, yes. And they deserve more attention than they do, obviously, but they're really great, you know, if you're into my type of music. And then I had Belle and Sebastian Rush. I just like that album. I find it a very pleasant listen.
Yeah,
it has. It reminds me of obviously a bygone era that, you know what I mean? Like the happiness injected into it. But it's not like, and I was wrong probably years ago when I said too twee. Twee to me means, you know, emotionally bereft. Whereas I don't think that with these guys. I think there's a good dark side to their music, but it's just that, you know, balanced out with the actual upbeat music.
Yeah, Twee to me is like that She and Him stuff.
Oh, that's the worst.
Which I just have no affinity for.
I'm amazed. I don't mean to get negative, but, you know, that She and Him singer, that
Zooey Deschanel.
She's the worst. She's up there with Hitler.
She's a star. She's not a musician. She's a star. She's a celebrity.
Yeah.
But you can't fault her for what she wants to do. And
no.
She,
you fault everyone around you. You know who the biggest, one of the worst people in music is, besides Jack White, is M. Ward. For just, you know, he just had a boner.
For giving.
Yeah, he just had a boner for this girl. And he's just like, she's beautiful. I'm going to tell her she can sing and you know, prop her up. And people are like, we can't tell her no.
You wouldn't have done that.
No.
I'll tell you two albums I was disappointed in.
Okay.
No Thanks to Vampire Weekend's Contra. And I know some people did like that, but I really thought that was a disappointment compared to their first debut album.
I think it was
album.
Too much of a departure. I think
maybe I felt like I had heard
was
it all before.
Was that this year?
That was 2010. Also, MGMT's album was a little bit more adventurous than, I think, Vampire Weekend's second album, but also I was not as impressed as much as I liked the first.
Was
MGMT.
That New Flaming Lips this year? You weren't into that, right?
I don't think that was this year.
Embryonic?
Uh-uh.
I'm pretty sure that was this year. I'm going to check right now.
All right, you check. I will give a couple more. Les Savvy Five had a new album. Just came out 2 months ago. Awesome. Really, really good. Much more polished and more produced than their prior albums, but still has a nice edge. Still crazy. I mean, that's just a word for it.
You're right, 2009.
Oh, look at that. Also, one of my favorite bands ever, Leatherface, Never Say Goodbye. We played it on the show off the album Stormy Petrel. Whole album is fantastic. Makes me cry a little bit. And We Are Scientists. Great.
Just, I like them.
Yeah, they're just like I said, they harken back to like 80s, pop rock goodness, and they have like a very tongue-in-cheek like they're not jokey, but they're in the same vein as like I don't know, bands that are just like, we're good enough to play whatever kind of music we are, we're gonna go down this path, we can make it a little jokey, but we're also, you know, we can craft a song. And their album's great. It's called Barbara. Great name for an album, right?
The Weepies had a nice album this year.
Yeah, Weepies.
Good Old War put out their second album this year.
Good Old War, Good Old War. Oh, yeah. I get them mixed up with War Tapes, and there's a Philly band with War on Drugs.
Good Old War is also a Philly band.
But really?
They put out their second album this year, very, very consistent with the first.
Good?
I loved it. Yeah, I really loved it.
That's the nice guy singer, girl singer dynamic, Weepies. Don't they both sing? Or is it
that's
just
the Weepies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I just saw them a couple weeks ago at World Cafe.
They are a husband and wife team.
They
right?
are.
They actually get to second base on stage. Like they really go at it at one point.
That's the feeling. That's,
yeah.
Okay.
Do they actually? Their goal is though to make everyone cry at least at one point during a show.
Is that why they're named that?
Yeah.
No, it is.
Not. Is that true,
yeah.
Jeff? I'm asking you. Is that forget about Russ?
Right.
Seen
yeah.
them and is really a big fan. Do they
yes.
want to make people cry?
Yeah. They have some like noxious spray.
We should
that
play
they spray
a song.
All right. I'm going to start off the show. Hi, everybody. I'm going to start off the show with a band I just discovered. And I discovered them on a radio station that I'm going to shout out soon, which I love right now.
I like that. Russ wouldn't tolerate that. I would appeal to you for answers about the week. He's like, I got a song.
Yeah. This segment's over. No one ignores me.
I'm taking my ball and going home if you're not going to play right.
Hey, I control the board.
It's true. This band is called Whole Sky Monitor, and they're out of Leeds, UK, and this is their song, Sold.
Yeah.
And we're back, people. That was Whole Sky Monitor, and you love them as much as I love them. That was a song Sold off of their Twisted Little Piggy CD. You can check them out at www.whole, as in not half, but whole, skymonitor.bandcamp.com. And Todd, I would say they are a mixture of Hey Mercedes meets...
7 seconds.
No. Good, though. Hey Mercedes meets Dana Dana Aykroyd, I would say. Yeah.
Finally. That kind
of, yeah, finally. Right, people. But, no, that's a great band. And I heard about them. I finally found... I used to listen to Woxy in the morning for like 2 years. Loved the station. He used to play great music. They went under, bankrupt, whatever. They're gone, Woxy. So I've been searching for months, and I finally
found... Aren't they still online?
They're not, no, not there's even? Nothing. They're just dead.
Oh, okay.
So KEXP in Seattle, great indie rock kind of format. John in the Morning Show, fantastic. Fantastic. He's actually nice mix of, he's a personality. He's very, just knows his music, throws in some great old gems, plays some good stuff. He's a funny guy, but he doesn't like turn into a morning zoo funny guy. Just throws in little gems every now and then. Great show. He played that song. Loved it. Now I know a new band I like.
Do you know...
I know lots of things.
I'm asking Russ. Do you know the stuff that Jeff is talking about when it comes to music? Because I feel like I know a lot about music. Like, when I get in a conversation with anyone even remotely near our age, I feel like I know plenty. Everything that they talk about, I bring stuff up they don't know. It's not that I'm saying this is some kind of like it's a competition,
right?
But I feel pretty educated when it comes to music, especially independent music. And when Jeff talks, he brings up a band that I've never heard, and then it goes like deeper and deeper and deeper inside himself, where he's talking about he uses vocabulary I barely understand, and English is my mother tongue. And then he like starts combining other bands. So my question is that do you? I mean, you know plenty about music. Do you?
It depends on the genre you like.
Yeah, I know maybe a quarter of the references he makes, and some of them are because I've learned them through him.
I feel like I'm 90 when I listen to him.
I didn't know
Hey
Mercedes before, but I know them now because of him.
They're good, right?
Yeah, because of hanging around him. But no, yeah, that's true. But I don't know if you could do it, but you could talk about artists, and you could go down a rat hole that we'd be like, "Who are you talking about?"
Yeah,
and I could go, and I could talk about 70s prog and have both of your heads spin of bands you had never heard of. You know, so. You know.
Yeah, I mean, Russell, he just threw out two there that, you know, I never heard of. Like, you know, he goes down his rabbit hole, his track, you know, and, you know, like Brad brought him down his track, and he knows those bands, and I don't. I have probably the narrowest focus out of you guys, easily. You guys have more of a wide swath when it comes to knowing music from different, you know, genres and popular stuff as well as deep stuff. I think I know, like... my kind of punk, alt, indie, hardcore. But then, like, I listen to John Solomon's show, and he's in another world knowing stuff that he throws stuff out there, and I'm like, God, I love that, and I never would have found it. And then I see, like, a conversation about it with his friends, and they all know it, and I feel like you feel like when I'm talking. Like he just mentioned,
like three bands. Someone who knows more,
right? And the, but whereas you look at me like I wish you'd shut up with that. When I listen to John and the other guy, I'm like, oh, I need to know more about the 1990 band Kitchen in the Fire that played John's show recently. Which I was just like, this is maybe the greatest thing.
I just wonder. Here's where it does get interesting.
Yeah,
is the future of conversations about the form, any forms of art, like, are they going to be so subcategorized and subsectioned that, like, you won't even, you know, like 15-20 years ago, we would be basically on the same page because there were only a handful
of labels
that were putting out a handful of music.
Good point.
So I just wonder, like right now TV is not like that because we still basically have major network and cable television, but maybe 20 years from now, you know, people will be producing and creating and writing for shows that are so focused that you would just consume it on whatever way that we download television programs at whatever time we want to. Then I wonder if that's the future, is that like you can't just go in to a break room at your work and talk about music or talk about visual arts or talk about, I mean, theater.
People are going to be a lot more free to chase their own interests and their own passions down rat holes.
Yeah.
And you're right that, you know, there were fewer mainstream albums and acts and things like that years ago because you had to get above a lot more hurdles to get there. There was still a lot of music, there's still a lot of indie type stuff, but it was on a much smaller scale because there was no way to get it distributed. Yeah. You know, but the interesting thing that I think is that even with all of the TV, so there's going to be a lot less people watching shows at the same time, so there's going to be a lot less synchronicity and stuff like that because everything's going to be on demand, right?
Yes.
But the thing that I find interesting is that even though there are so many more channels now, so many more TV channels, if you don't have anything recorded and you don't have anything to watch, like between, let's say, 7 and 9 on an average weeknight, it's garbage.
Yeah.
So even though garbage you have 100 things to flip through on the digital cable and see what's on, I don't want to look at one of those things. Mm-hmm. It's all banal crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I end up walking downstairs and watching a documentary on Netflix.
Yep.
You know?
Which is a good thing, too. But I when you talk about consuming on our own timeline, which will be the case, but they're still going to have to be released at a certain time. And just like books, like people have book clubs where, or they have discussions and conversations and reviews about books where generally, you know, the book comes out and there's discussions about, there's kind of a wave of people reacting to it at the same time.
Yeah, I watch Oprah. That's what you're talking about.
Didn't she give you a new pair of shoes?
Let's wrap up the favorite musics. My other two favorite musics, my other two favorite offerings of the year. Kind of, you know, Ted Leo's album came out in March. It was really, really good. Atavan Eyes is just one of the greatest songs ever. Check that out. That's the Brutalist Bricks. And then Superchunk. Those old MFers put out a new album, first time in 10 years. Majesty Shredding. And I saw them in concert. They were fabulous. And they have a song, just Fractures in Plaster, off that album, which is just one of their best. Fantastic. So definitely check that out. Any other musics that you like this year, Todd?
Barely.
No, that was
this,
it, huh?
This is the, what is it, 30th anniversary, though, of the passing and birth. 50th
anniversary.
He's dead?
He died, like, 30 years ago, and then he would be 60, I guess?
No, he'd be 70.
70. They die at 40? Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, is that why, did they wait, like, on an anniversary then to put out all the Beatles albums on iTunes? Or is that just,
that's actually not why, but,
no?
Yeah.
Did you guys, you guys probably have all the Beatles stuff you want. Would there be anything that you would go back to iTunes to?
What kind of, who cares about that, really? And I'm
you know what I loved?
It's mainly just, it's a conquest thing for Steve Jobs, that's all.
I mean, I guess, like, 11 and 12-year-olds that are just being introduced to that kind of music, maybe that's a big deal, but, like, people who wanted it had it. And
I wonder if that stuff connects with kids that age.
Yeah, I have lots of students that wear Beatles shirts and that are into Beatles and talk about them. Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so that was music for 2010.
But what do you think the middle schoolers are into when it comes to music? What do you think they talk
horrible,
about?
Horrible crap. I would say, I'm so out of
they're not Justin Bieber, right?
They're for that. They're way into Justin Bieber.
Get out, really.
And we have many a conversation about that.
But
I have many individual bets with these kids that, like, when they come back, I say, come back when you're in 10th grade, let's talk about Justin Bieber and if you still like him. Also, the Jonas Brothers, they're very much into the Jonas
Joe Bros?
And Hannah Montana. And these kids are up to 13 and 14 years old.
That surprises me. You think that they would kind of see through the
marketing. And wear, I want to say literally, but they wear it on their sleeve. They wear the shirts and they talk about it. I mean, they're overt fans.
Do boys like Justin Bieber?
No boys. No boys overtly, outwardly like
boys him. Like rap?
Boys like rap, yeah. And rap that we don't know of, really. Yeah. Like, they'll be like, oh, did you hear this or put on that? Like,
Lil Wayne and
talking about.
Yeah.
No, even Lil Wayne I've heard of is like,
no. Yeah.
You know, that's what it sounds like to me. That's crazy, kids.
Yeah. They
no, I never heard of it. Now get off my lawn.
I mean, no matter, you know, they're all dumb at that age. No matter how smart they think they're dumb and they like crappy music. When we were young,
we were dumb once. Jeff.
No, I had great taste. What are you talking about? Wearing my hat with the hoop hatch I sewed on it, I looked freaking awesome.
What is your next topic beyond music? Because we maybe should play one more song before we go into
one more before we go in there. Okay, let me just. I think the other thing, another category I like is we spend a lot of time on our computers, correct? Websites, podcasts, stuff like that we like, entertainment that we view through the computer, and there's been a lot of good stuff like that. Do you want to do another song?
Yeah, let's do another song.
All right. Todd, we're going to do a song that you chose because you said, Jeff, this is the greatest song I've ever heard, and I guarantee everyone in the world will like it. Todd's sick.
I couldn't live up to that. This is Paper Bird. I selected this track in particular because of the word bird.
Oh, because of Thanksgiving, right?
Oh, I love people call it Turkey Day. It's so funny and interesting.
Right,
anyway,
because they're
Happy Turkey Day!
Do you have a song about
Thanksgiving, but I call it Turkey Day because I'm not eating turkey. I'm so awesome.
Are you, Are you having a song about slaughter so next? No, this is, because, you know, they slaughter birds on Thanksgiving.
I imagine they do.
Yeah. You should play the band Slaughter.
This is called... This
what
is,
was their Up All Night, Sleep All Day? That was their big hit, right?
Why would I know that? Maybe you some know it. Maybe some cheesy Long Island kid would know it.
So this is called
Hey, me and the lead singer have the same haircut, kind of. They're not so bad.
This is called Paper Bird by Spit Spot.
There was a spit spot on the sidewalk next to your shoe. And then the sky dropped and I forgot what it was that you and I were supposed to do. Well, I pulled back and braided your hair, and we were standing in our underwear. The river flooded so nobody was there. Couldn't help but drink a long, long stare.
And he's been living with her for a while.
That was Spit Spot, and the band's name is Paper. I think I got that reverse, switched around, because I'm frankly not that familiar, but I did select it. I thought it had a nice flair. I thought it was charming, and it is a Daytrotter studio session. And again, Paper Bird is the name of the band, if you want to find out more about them, Paper Bird. And the song was called Spit Spot. And I'm going to throw this to Russ, because I know Russ has some strong feelings about what that might be a combination of, and about public spitting.
Go, Ross.
Well, I don't know that I'd have the combination, your time. But it reminds me of like the Diddy Bops, you know that?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Maybe like Squirrel Nut Zippers, yep. But not as maybe not as much production. You know?
Trying to capture a time that has since passed, I think. I mean, making reference to, what would you say, the 40s? 50s?
Yeah. Like the banjo stuff, I guess so.
Andrew Bird, was he a Squirrel Nut Zipper?
He was.
Yeah, I like him.
He was.
Can't say I was a fan of Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I had tickets to go see Andrew Bird at the Ryman Theater in Nashville, which was the old Grand Ole Opry. I was so psyched to go, and then US Airways screwed us over and overbooked our flight, and we actually were not even able to get to go. So we lost.
No. He actually came out with a really great instrumental classical album this year.
Oh, really?
Which was, I believe he made it to go along with either a television series or a movie or something. It's very nice.
Listen to it. But the funny thing about it was... what is this doing? The funny thing about it was, so my cousin, who I was supposed to go see it with, I said, hey, you should really go anyway. Just get some friends to go. Like, I think you'll enjoy the concert. And he knew nothing about Andrew Bird. So when I finally connected with him afterwards, I said, hey, what'd you think of the show? And he goes, I expected there to be more whistling. Because basically there was a whistle solo on every song, even songs that previously hadn't had them. He was just a whistling fiend that night. And my cousin
was feeling it.
He was like, the first song I was like, wow, this dude can whistle. And then by like the third song I was like, wow, he's whistling on every song. And then by the end, I was like, that's enough whistling.
Yeah.
Jesus. So public spitting? You feel strongly about that?
I think it's absolutely revolting when I see people do it. It's
never
revolting.
Acceptable.
Never.
Never. It's disgusting.
Never. Well, if you're like,
what if you,
in a sporting event, sure.
Yeah, like what if you do dip? Is that better?
You don't think that doing dip is revolting?
It pretty much is. Can you imagine? If you had to choose between chewing tobacco, dip, or smoking cigarettes, what would you choose?
Oh, Jesus. Hold on. Chewing tobacco?
Chewing tobacco, dip, or smoking cigarettes.
Well, those are kind of the same. They're close.
Yeah.
I would rather just have my jaw removed. I couldn't do.
Well.
No.
I don't know why those. I wouldn't want to do any of those. But,
we're supposed to be positive tonight.
I have an uncle who is a big dipper, and he has been for years. And there was a time when his wife mistook his dip cup for something else and drank his spit cup.
I told the story on air where I drank a spit cup and I was sick for like a week. It's the worst thing in the world.
When I was a wrestler, when we would like go to away meets and you had guys desperately trying to make weight, we would be in a bus for like a half an hour and there'd be 8 out of the 25 of us just with cups spitting in the cup because they thought they could lose a little bit of weight. And there would just be loose cups of spit all over the bus.
I just can't picture wrestlers being that stupid.
It's the most disgusting sport ever. Don't let your kids wrestle.
People thought they could lose weight by
spitting in a cup.
Yeah.
Do you know how much spit you would have to get rid of to lose a pound?
You should see the
a pound of spit.
That would stand. That would, for some reason, somebody got into the heads of our wrestling team that if they would go on their hands up like upside down, would like do a handstand or a headstand for 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it might be, and then run onto the scale, they would be lighter somehow. Because
you know what's really hard to believe is most schools, I'm sure yours, the wrestling coaches are really smart guys. So I'm amazed that they would impart this false knowledge to their student. Like, I can't even imagine. Maybe your wrestling coach was like an idiot, but that's hard to believe.
Actually, our wrestling coach was a very bright guy. I don't understand.
So would he stop the kids from doing that?
Yeah, well, he thought it was crazy. I don't. They got it from a magazine or something.
Did you do any of it?
No, God, no.
Really?
I'm not saying I wouldn't have. Maybe I would have when I got wrapped up.
You know why he wasn't?
I was
busy sewing the word. He was busy sewing the words thump on his leotard.
When you were the caliber wrestler I was on a team that was as good as the team I was on, you didn't worry about any of that stuff.
Everybody else was spitting in cups. Todd was like getting out his giant enema.
Yeah.
I'm going right to the source.
About 9 guys would have had to like been out from dehydration from spitting into cups for me to actually see the mat that day. So I just stayed healthy and happy.
Let's talk about good things that we consumed, digested from the web.
Oh.
Yeah.
Get excited about food.
Yeah, we can talk about food. But just, you know, obviously we all spend a lot of time on the web work-wise, and then we try to have our diversions and stuff like that. And I enjoy, you know, podcasts when I can, maybe like one a day or so. 2 that I recommend highly is Comedy Death Ray, and the other one is Sklarbro Country. They're both on a very easy website to remember, earwolf.com, a play on airwolf.com. It's called earwolf.com. Comedy Death Ray, Scott Aukerman, very funny. He brings on comedians for an hour and a half. They just shoot the shit.
They talk shop.
They talk shop. They just bust on things. And they have people come on and do fake characters.
Do they bust on other comedians?
Yes.
Because every time I interview a comedian, which I have for the show many times, I frequently ask.
And they won't, right?
Yeah, they won't.
They will only do it with other comedians. They don't kill anybody. But yeah, they'll kill somebody, like they'll make like a Joe Rogan joke or something, you know. But they'll
beat on Rogan?
No, they'll just make fun of him being like, you know, he's a funny guy, but you know, you could cool it with the extreme fighting and all that stuff. You know, it's just, I love, you know, like comedians do their stand up, they do their bits on stage and you like them and you feel like you know them. But then when you hear like really smart ones talk and just shoot the shit and how insanely quick they are, you're just like, this is the greatest.
I watched that Comedy Central benefit night of Too Many
Stars horrible.
Or whatever.
Yeah, horrible.
Holy crap.
But it's because...
That was terrible.
That's because they're put on stage and they're like, I have to be on. I have to be on. And they try too hard to do shtick, right? And they stunk.
I don't know. It was... Gaffigan, like people that went up there and did like a bits that they had rehearsed. Yeah. But like guys that went up and just, you know, figured, oh, I'll just go up there and be wing funny.
It. Yeah, not at all.
Not funny at all.
But if you hear like Scott really Aukerman interview Patton Oswalt for an hour and they're just talk about nerdy stuff, politics, whatever, it's awesome. Like, it's just like he's a smart guy. You know, Paul F. Tompkins, same thing. A lot of other comedians go on there. Really, really great. And then Scarborough Country. You guys know Randy and Jason Sklar. They're twins. They're comedians. They've been around for like 15 years. They have had MTV shows.
I think Peter Scolari was now, on Newhart.
Yeah, yeah. They're and
Bosom Buddies.
They're two guys. Their podcast basically is just they talk about sports, but they also talk about comedy. And you don't have to be a sports fan to enjoy it because they barely talk about sports. So check those two out. And then I'm using a thing called Evernote. Do you guys use Evernote?
Yeah,
I it's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just discovered it. Evernote.
The elephant.
What's that?
Is it elephant?
Yeah, elephant.
Icon?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's green.
Yeah, it works pretty well. I like it.
What does that do for you that regular notes can't?
Well, you go on the website, you log in, you type up your notes, save it, then you can just take the app.
It's
everywhere. Yeah,
everywhere.
It's cloud. Okay. You know, it's in a cloud. Yeah, so then you just go and I'm like, oh, here's my notes, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And lastly,
you don't have to do it that way. Like, I don't know if it does.
You can just think it.
Well, I don't know if it does it that way from the phone, but on the iPad, like, you can just do it on the iPad and it'll sync it up. You know, so pretty much any device, it just, like, all you gotta do is save it and it saves it up to the cloud. It's nice.
It's nice because, like, I'll just do my notes on my computer, save it, then I open this up, here are all my notes. It's, like, fantastic stuff. Also, I like to give a shout-out to unemployedsidekick.com. Very funny webisodes. 1 minute long, 1 or 1.5 minute long episodes, just this telling the story of a sidekick superhero who was de-sidekicked.
The same one.
He lost his job as a sidekick. Now he's in the real world.
Yeah.
And he's really doesn't really fully grasp the real world.
I feel like a comedy handling of superheroes has been done to death.
It has. It's been done
right,
to death.
Hasn't it?
The Moth. Remember the TV show The Moth, the cartoon?
The Tick.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, where the Moth was the sidekick of the Tick. They kind of explored that.
That was one of the best episodes when he got, when he wasn't able to go into the club and they made him go to the sidekick's lounge in the back and it was like him and a gorilla.
Yeah, yeah, just horrible. like a real animal, right? Yeah, he was like next to like a dog. Who are you kicking for?
It was like a, who are you kicking for? Yeah. The dog had like a bandana with a letter on it.
But this is, go to unemployedsidekick.com. It's, There's something charming about their only minute episodes, and they come out like once a week. And it's the acting's really good. It's really funny. I enjoy it. I guarantee you'll like it, Todd. And you'll be like, no, this isn't overdone, and it's not territory that's been tread upon before.
Was it you that was telling me about that Confessions of a Superhero documentary? Did you see that ever?
No. What's that?
Oh, wait. Was it the people that – yes, I did.
Yeah,
it was like Wonder Woman and Batman.
Yeah,
and
I just watched it.
Yeah, that was
very
good.
Interesting. Yeah.
What was it?
It's the story of people who dress up like superheroes out front of man's Chinese
theater.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, all those people
and
dirty, disgusting costumes.
Some of them are people who are like trying to make it, and their stories are kind of bittersweet. Some of them are people that are pretty borderline mentally
crazy.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's a very interesting documentary.
Yeah.
Can you get that on Netflix?
Yeah, and it is good. It's compelling.
Question. When you said you like will fire up something on Netflix, do you do that on demand? How do you
view it? I do it through the Wii.
Do you do it through the Wii, put it on your TV,
mm-hmm.
and you just stream it from... All right.
Have you done it on your phone?
No. It's great.
You didn't get it for the iPhone?
I could watch something on the iPhone?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What do you just download the Netflix
app?
There's
a free Netflix app. You get whatever you want on the streaming, and like once it gets going, after about 45 seconds into it, a minute into it, there's no hiccups, there's no freezing.
What's
nothing,
the
but no
what's the percentage of good stuff that Netflix has that's
you haven't
streaming.
Seen all the good stuff.
Okay,
there's plenty to watch. Yeah,
okay.
There is a lot, and actually a lot of the documentaries that are a handful of years old are all on there. So you know, Man on the Wire.
Oh, there's so many great independent documentaries on there.
Yeah.
And TV shows. Like I was watching Stella for a while on my iPhone. Yeah.
What do you like to do on the web, Todd, this past year? What's been good for you?
You know, I have to admit that I prefer to produce, to contribute to the web more than consume things on the web. Like,
sorry, the web's not good enough for you, offering you stuff that you feel like you have to make it better.
Well, I'm not saying that I have more to offer than other people, but what I am saying is that I will throw something out there on Twitter or Facebook or artwork on my website and then like compulsively watch and see what people are favoriting or liking or like responding back to. I mean, I guess that's pretty self-indulgent, but
no, that's
you know, part of it, it's not just that I think I have anything important to say, but it's just kind of, it's really compelling to me kind of socially and psychologically, like what stuff strikes a chord at what hour with what type of person, you know, like you kind of cast this net. And
Jendek Phil always says that whenever he tweets something really stupid and inane about food, he gets more comments than anything else.
Yeah.
So if he just like puts on his status, "I like chocolate chip cookies," he'll get 50 responses. "Me too. Cookies are the best. Yeah. I love cookies."
And then someone will respond, "You tried my recipe. Oh my God, can you send that recipe?" Then it just goes down a path and you're just like, "Oh, you too, go."
Don't you find that more compelling than just consuming things from the web? Like Jeff especially, well,
goes through
you
cycles.
Do too.
What?
Yeah, yeah. And we won't talk about all your outlets, but you put stuff out there and you wait and you see. Like, you know, you plant little land.
I do.
You
right.
plant mines and you wait to see who walks over. Jeff puts plenty of stuff
out
there.
I like to put it that way.
And I think there's just something, you know, it might be selfish, you know, it might be self-indulgent, but to me, it's a great outlet. Because it makes you, I've said this before, it makes you like see the world differently because that there's potential material everywhere, you know, and I think it makes you examine it.
That is true.
And I think it's a positive thing. It's like to look at the world as, not that I'm like just harvesting material and everybody in my life are characters, but it's also nice to like look at things with kind of an artistic eye and think like, oh, what could I turn into or can I make into something that might be palatable or enjoyable or humorous to other people?
Right.
And then you put it out there and I just find it really, really fascinating to see like what people ignore and what people love and what people respond to me. And then of course, I also like, well, more Twitter than Facebook, but I like to read other people's things and kind of shoot back some feedback or other...
Snipe.
Yeah,
snipe.
That's it. You used to always call me a social sniper.
No. Well, I mean, before the social networking, you know, I used the web to promote whatever I was doing on the web. You know what I mean? Like, I do stuff on NewsWigs, and then I use Twitter and Facebook kind of relentlessly to promote it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, this is new, check this out, this is new. And I think...
But when you consume the things that you mentioned, that you like, do you shoot them emails and say... I mean,
yeah.
I think you do, right?
Oh, I do.
So my point is that the beautiful and exciting thing about internet technology and the web is that it's a two-way street and that we can all participate and that we can all contribute and we can consume. Because without that, it's just a magazine. And there's nothing wrong with magazines, but if I just want to consume...
Yeah.
You know, so to me, I really like things that where I feel more connected, or at least I can have that opportunity to be connected to somebody.
Russ, anything on the web that you've enjoyed?
I'm looking at a couple things that I bookmarked, like fun things over the past year.
Yeah, just run down the list.
Yeah, just so, like, I go to the oatmeal.com.
That's good, sure.
Very funny. Man Babies, of course, was a discovery this year. I submitted my Man Baby this morning.
And
that's too disturbing.
So
I don't
know
like
if
it.
It's posted
I only just submitted it.
I hope it gets shot down. I don't like it.
No, the one that was shared.
I don't like that at all. Your daughters just should not
did
be
did you ever see SellikWaterfallSandwich.com?
No.
Also very funny.
Alright, send me that.
Is it what it sounds like?
Oh, it's just a bunch of people like, it's like Man Babies where there's like a rule to the picture and every picture has to have Tom Selleck, a waterfall, and a sandwich.
Well, okay.
It's just really stupid. Phil showed it to me. It's again, it's like, it's just like a stupid community thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's actually very funny. I think we've seen the death of a couple of things that we liked. I believe that Homestar Runner is done.
Yeah, pretty much. They stopped.
I also... We the Robots is at least on a very extended hiatus.
Yeah.
Probably done.
It's done.
So, you know, they rise and they fall.
Everything is finite.
Todd.
There's a couple good new emulators online. You've probably seen them where there's a couple websites where you, I think it's like Nintendo8.com or something where it emulates Nintendo 8-bit games right in your browser. No software downloads, no nothing.
Yeah.
So you can play all the old Nintendo games right in your browser.
Yeah, do you find them to be stimulating anymore?
Like, not for long periods of time.
Not for long.
Like it's more like I just find it interesting to scroll through and be like, I remember that one.
Yeah.
Or like there might be one that was like horrendously bad that you'll go. So like I tend to click into the ones I remember being terrible. Like you remember Rambo for Nintendo?
Yes, I do.
So bad.
Yep.
So you click into that and laugh at it for a couple minutes, and it's a lot funnier if you have friends around. Obviously, who remember them, or even better, like there's a couple guys in my office that were kind of on the tail end of Nintendo. So sitting and who are like big video game guys. So I'll bring up some of the worst ones I know and be like, here, play this for a little bit. And they'll be like, what is this?
Yeah.
How do you even do this? Which is pretty funny.
Was that an LJN game? Because LJN, I think that's what it was, LJN, was, I remember, through basically all through Nintendo's life, they spent their money on licensing.
Right.
They spent no money on game development. So they had these huge blockbuster games. Like, I remember the Karate Kid game, where a big part of it was, like, moving the chopsticks and catching the flies. True story. Like, and every time, I guess I was too young to recognize, but, like, every time I got excited about them announcing that there's going to be this game, I'd be like, oh, my God. That's going to be a video game? And I would, like, get it, or I'd rent it, and then, like...
Last American Virgin's going to be a video game?
Town and
Country Porky's is going to be a video game?
A video game? And it just sucks.
Gleaming the Cube is going to be a video game? It's like...
That was later.
Hey, you know what's weird? I'm always, like, always fascinated by the way people will try to harness... Companies will try to harness Twitter for their... To you know, to get followers and to use it. And I just saw like two people tweeted today the same exact tweet, and it was just like, I love Dropbox because they give me extra storage. Link to Dropbox. So if you use Dropbox, a lot
of
people
do. That?
Yeah,
yeah, because you get extra storage if you do that.
If you tweet it, right. Yeah. So I think it's pretty ingenious.
It's not that much. It's like 500 meg or something.
But it just like the way companies do it now. They're just like, all right, we want you to be our follower and promote us. And these, I think it was pretty...
They better be 19, though. You know, because, like, what could that much space cost if you want, like, $4 on Dropbox? You're going to whore yourself out and your Twitter account out to get that kind of space?
I mean, but people do. I mean, people do this sort of thing a lot to, you know...
Would you ever do that? Like, wouldn't you just, like, such a sellout that you have followers who follow you for the most part, you'd like to think, because your content is interesting, and then... You bastardize your feed with some crap that you can get for free. I think that's really revolting. And again,
well,
if you're a 17-year-old kid and can't afford it otherwise, fine. But if you're someone who takes pride in what you put up there, and then you shit it up with, hey, I got 20% off for this Gap. Do it, come on, that's ridiculous. Spend the extra $7 and spare us all. You know what?
He's
maybe everybody will send you a nickel.
He's going to lose his voice. He's going to lose his voice in this.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Turkey Day. Happy.
What's our song?
All right.
Our voice in the first place.
We're going to play a great band that made a comeback this year. And the band is called Versus. This is a song called Gone to Earth. Maybe the prettiest, one of the most beautiful songs I've heard all year. Just awesome.
Thank you. lost in your squirrely eyes. I don't wanna know if I've been hypnotized. Don't mind being lost in your squirrely eyes. I don't wanna know if I've been hypnotized. Don't mind being lost in your squirrely
people. That was one of my favorite bands from the 90s, early 2000s. That was Versus. They were gone for a while, but now they're back.
If I
wanted
to find them, V-E-R-S, or was it like the V-S period?
V-S period, Versus. Okay. Like Todd versus Jeff in the cage match.
One of those bands that's probably very, very difficult to find.
Every fighting
not as hard as the Chick, Chick, Chick. But they just put out an album, their first one in a long time, and it was great. It was really, really good. The name of the album is On the Ones and Threes, and some Merge Records. If you go to mergerecords.com, and they're the Balayut brothers, and also singing for them is Fontaine Toops or Taups. I don't know how to pronounce her name, but great album. That song's beautiful. Gone to Earth. Guys, what else was good for you this year?
TV,
yeah.
Leno.
Awesome, right?
He's back.
Better than ever. Back and on the attack, and he's so much vim and vigor.
Light number two, Sarah Palin.
Awesome.
What a score.
He's a creep. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
Have you been watching Conan, though?
Yeah, I want to talk about Conan just a little bit. First of all, a little too much Conan in my Conan. I'm glad he's back, but there's too much of him and the funny dancing and the look at me.
More than when he was...
Lot more. Like, it used to be Conan was a nice mix of, you know, he does the, I'm the awkward dancing funny guy on his show. But he had enough of, like, his sketch players doing skits and Frankenstein coming on and
so
all that.
So do you think
that.
It's because the writing is thin?
His monologues have been pretty bad.
Yeah, because they can't bankroll the quality of writers that they would on the
show. I don't think that. His writers, and a lot of them are on Twitter, are funny as hell.
And are they the same?
I don't know if they're the same exact. I know at least three of them are still writing for him who wrote for him back. But I don't know. I expected with him going to a non-Tonight show, a little edgier, I was hoping he would switch up the format a little bit. It's so the same monologue, little bits, two guests, and he's not a good interviewer. He's funny. I mean, he's one of the funniest guys on the planet. And then band. Yeah. I don't think the bands he's getting are good.
He was never a good interviewer.
He can't.
You know?
He can't interview.
Like Carson and Letterman and stuff.
They
those,
listen.
Those guys.
They would listen, and then he would go back with just another joke. He cuts people
he's
off.
He's obviously a writer first.
Yeah.
And when he's interviewing someone, he's sitting there thinking about the next funny thing to
say.
He's
not.
He really
listening.
Is.
So that's it. And I also think he could book better musical guests. Jimmy Fallon's kicking his butt in that department. Jimmy mm-hmm. Fallon obviously going, I think, for a little younger demographic. So he's getting bands that younger people like.
Yeah.
I think Conan, the big problem with him is he
has like Bob Seger.
It's maybe the music is as bad as Bob Seger style music, where Conan kind of likes this, like, you know, old time rock and roll. And, you know, like he would be like his first show. I'm like, oh, who's his musical guest? Jack White, and then he plays with Jack White. Like, he sings and plays guitar. And I'm like, Conan, this is great. I know this is your hobby. You think you're kind of a singer, and you play guitar. This is someone famous humoring you to get on your show. Granted, you're friends, but you're a funny guy first. Don't dilute your funniness by being part of the musical
Jack
act.
White didn't come out and do the monologue with him. Right?
It's just...
Like, stick with what you're good at, yeah.
I think if he got a little better musical acts and he just – they did more comedy.
So what's right about TV this year? I would say the two shows that I actually care to tune in on, and I don't watch – I watch barely any TV. Tosh.0, I know I'm not the first person to say that I like that
he's
show.
He's harsh, man. He kills people.
That show is very, very, very funny, I think. And we saw him live this year. And he put on a really great show. It was very enjoyable. I mean, I think you either love him or you don't.
I saw his stand-up before he had a show.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. Like, Kelly and I were really laughing. Like, we had no idea who he was.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's really
That one
funny.
Where he's, like, meditating at the beginning of it, that was on Comedy Central.
Yeah, it was Comedy Central probably, like, 3 years ago. Yeah,
it's
good.
It's biting.
Yeah, he's really brutal on people.
That show's a ton of fun. And obviously, Modern Family. Those are the only two shows I really try to catch.
You don't like Community?
I don't like it at all.
I don't dislike it.
I like it better than Modern Family. It's my favorite show.
I don't get it.
Really?
Yeah. It's so awesome. The writing.
Maybe I need to watch it.
The writing is brilliant.
Better than Modern Family?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Every show, they take another genre and they do all of the.
That's gimmicky.
It's not gimmicky.
I think that's it goes against character development.
Like Glee, right?
I did not like Glee.
I thought you were like way into watching Glee.
No, I was not. I was never way into watching Glee. I did watch the first season.
You once said best show ever.
I really like Community. I think is very smartly written, and I really like the characters.
Want to hear a good point about Modern Family? Twitter friend Maggie Sirota just tweeted like last week. I don't know if she was a fan of the show or not, but it really got me thinking. She's like, "Hey, everybody likes Modern Family. Yeah, it's great and all, but you know what's so modern about a family where none of the women work?" And I'm like, "Holy shit, she's right." Think about it. Think about it. Let's all just think about that, guys, huh?
I'll tell you my one criticism about Modern Family.
I know. All right.
Do you think you know what it
might be? No, but no, go.
I think the writing is great.
More cleavage?
No.
There's
a perfect amount of cleavage.
Perfect amount.
I would say that I don't always need to learn a lesson when I'm watching,
I know,
a comedy show. And frankly, sometimes they are like really moving and poignant. So it is nice to like laugh and kind of feel sad and kind of be moved and inspired. Yeah. But not every
sometimes it's a little too forced in there.
That's what keeps a show like Modern Family on the air, and that's what makes a show like Arrested Development go off the air.
Yeah, you're right.
That's exactly why.
Mm. Yeah, you're right.
Good point, Russ.
Good points.
I'm just saying, you know, like you that is playing to middle America a little bit and just the right amount to rope them in.
You know what's going to happen on Modern Family? Phil's going to lose his job. They're setting this up. You know, he's not doing well. He's and she's going to have to go back to work, and he's going to be a house husband. I think it'd be great.
Maybe you're right.
Can I tell you a show that you both will like?
Go ahead.
I just watched the first episode last night. It was great. PBS, Masterpiece Mysteries, the new Sherlock Holmes. This is called Sherlock. It is set in modern-day London. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Moriarty. Dr. Moriarty is played by Tim from the original Office, Martin Freeman, who's awesome. And you might not even recognize him. He looks about 15 years older, real skinny, plays like a Afghanistan war vet. It's a modern day Sherlock Holmes.
Who's the gym character.
Yeah, who's the gym.
Counterpart, yeah.
And it's great. There's been three episodes so far. I don't know if they're doing any more. But they're just like little hour and a half long movies. British BBC produced shows are just so well done. And like we always say, we've talked about it nonstop, they know when to end something good when it's done. And they just...
Integrity.
They're so...
Although I know you love that Kitchen Capers or Kitchen Nightmares or whatever.
No,
or
I like the British version of Kitchen Nightmares.
No.
Where he went to the British...
Nope.
No, he went to the British kitchens and tried to fix those. I like
it.
That.
Nope. Because here's what... I'm going to tell you why I know. Is because...
I'm wrong.
Just like any show where they try to cure something, he spends the first 45 minutes of that show amplifying the problem.
Yeah,
amplifying family issues, amplifying food issues, amplifying you know, because frankly, if you go and there's not turmoil in the restaurant or in the family, you don't have a show. So he goes and he sets the table for disaster. I mean, figuratively, not literally.
Yeah.
And so
you're right.
So it annoys me because you know, and I've been on TV in some of these kind of Mickey Mouse shows, and I know that I've been on that side of it.
Right,
and
where they try
and
to.
They really highlight and prod and really try to blow up and out of proportion. Just like Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil's the same thing. Like, he's not a psychologist. He spends the entire show talking about how major the problem is. Some cases they might be, and the people need to acknowledge that, but in many cases they're not.
Todd doesn't like this show.
Any problem where they try to cure a problem.
He's a very fired up little guy.
Do you agree or disagree? When they pretend like they're curing a problem, the production value of the show and the advertising sales are most important. So they need you to tune in, and they need that prop. Just say, same thing with daycare, nanny, whatever, all those kind of shows, yeah, rescue horrible. With this and that. There might not be as major a problem as the editing and the star makes it out to be, because they have to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would say no, Gordon Ramsay.
No, I don't. I like.
Not as dysfunctional as you.
I like the first season many years ago. I watched. I haven't watched it since. He's kind of a. I'm done with him.
I didn't mean to bully you into an opinion.
No, you're right. I changed my opinion.
But you guys did mean to bully me into not liking Community.
I wouldn't say I watched a show enough to say
I've watched it a few times, and you know what I didn't like about it at first? I'm like, oh, they got all the different characters. The sassy black one, the dumb young white one. The old guy is a little befuddled, but he's still lovable. The young black guy is a little angry, but he still befriends the guy he probably wouldn't befriend in real life. And then you have the foreigner who has a little special problem. Throw them all together, and you know what? Why don't we let's do an 80s show. Let's do a show where they make fun of,
I believe me, the first couple episodes that I saw, I was in the same boat, and I was like, this is stupid, and I was like, Chevy Chase, give me a break, he's doing his old shtick. But,
all right, but maybe I'll give
I
it
stuck
a chance.
With it, and once you get to know the characters... It's very similar to The Soup in that it is very tongue-in-cheek. So they know that they're doing what you just said. They know that they're doing the genre stuff, and it's tongue-in-cheek in a funny way.
Better than 30 Rock? 30 Rock does that so well.
I like it better than 30 Rock.
30 Rock's getting to a point, though, where
it's like
we
a
talk...
comedy onion.
30 Rock, though, is to the point where it's too... Not meta, but it's too, like, jokey to the point, like... They distance themselves completely from the reality of the situation, and it's just joke fest, hyper joke fest, and they don't even try to craft a humanity to it, which Modern Family does. You know what I mean?
But did you see the one where he was trying to film, Tracy Morgan was trying to film the public service announcement?
Yeah, it was great. That was just over and over.
You could show. Make part two of that and show me seven more times. I'll belly laugh every time you show me that.
Like the third time he's just eating a sandwich and he's just like, I don't know my lines.
Back to Community though. How can you get past Chevy Chase's speech impediment? Like, what does he have fake teeth? What's going on? Why cannot?
He doesn't have a speech impediment.
You don't notice that he speaks. No, he doesn't on the show. I'm saying Chevy Chase can't speak.
Oh, maybe I don't know.
It's like I guess
he is such a minor part of that show. He might as well not even be on it.
It just bothers me.
He's a very minor character. Hmm. Well, we have to bring this to a close.
Okay.
Let me say.
Got anything else important there, Jeffers?
Well, I just wanted to say, I'm thinking I'm going to stop E-Music. E-Music's horrible now. E-Music just went in the crapper. They lost like three minor labels because they brought on all these majors. They changed the way they pay out, and minor labels can't afford to be on there. So like Beggars Group is gone. Domino Records Merge is gone. Their filtering sucks. They've changed their back end where you just like, I just want to go alternative, hardcore, search, and I do that, and then I get Robert Plant. Like
Robert Plant is alternative hardcore.
Robert Plant, and every search I do, I guarantee any genre I put in, Linkin Park will come up third.
Ugh.
It's just, I don't know. It sucks. They're horrible.
I was chatting with them a long time ago. I think for our Thanksgiving episode, we should mention that we had two kids out of the three of us this year.
Yes.
So
I wanted to say part
of families are important. Right?
Yes, if we all give thanks, I think it's obvious that we have great families. And I do have a running segment, a new segment that I would like to. We try not to be like, hey, let's talk about the dad show. It's tough being a dad, but I would like a thing called "Oh, that's cute," where we all go and for 1 minute. We say something cool that our kid did, and that's it. We get 1 minute of something cute
you got
our
something
kid
lined
did.
Up. Go
no,
ahead.
I really, I don't. I mean, I could, but I'm just saying that made you laugh and made you say, you know what? It's pretty cool being a dad because that was pretty funny or pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not turning this into a dad show. So we have 3 minutes.
Go ahead.
No. Do you have something that you?
Yeah, well, I was telling you guys earlier that my son gave me a lecture. About how he doesn't like to be paraphrased. Now, my son is 2.
Right.
But we're in the car, and he's like, and he said something, and then I said something in a similar way, but not using the exact same words, and then he's got real quiet. I said, what's the matter? He's like, I'm sad. I said, why? He's like, well, I was talking, and you said what I said, but you used different words, and you're not listening. And I said, no, I'm just paraphrasing. It's the same, I try to explain to him. But
I know 100% exactly what you're talking about. I have this, my daughter's the same age as Rocco, and she will not let anything go until you adequately answer her. She will not, she'll just be like, the princess doesn't want to bring the bunny because it's Strawberry Town. And I'll be like, oh, that's great. It's not great, Daddy. What I said is she doesn't want to go. If it was great, she'd go. Like, that's what she means. Yeah. And, like, I'm brushing her off. I have to respond exactly correctly until she'll let it go. And she's like a martinet about it. She's just like, no, that's what I said. And I'm like, okay, what was that again? She's not happy. And I'll be like, well, let's make her happy. Okay, everything's great.
Like, the thing
she does, which is awesome, is everything's poop. She thinks it's the funniest thing in the world. So we're in bed this morning. My five-year-old and I are doing knock-knock jokes. So Juliet's really getting into it. She's understanding the whole craft of jokes. And it was like, let us in, I'm freezing. You know, that's the knock-knock. Let us here, mm-hmm. Let us in, I'm freezing. Una ends everything with, let us in, I'm freezing, to poop on your head. So everything is poop on your head. And all I can think of is Triumph, the insult comic daughter.
Yeah.
So she's like my insult comic daughter. Everything you say, you do a song with her, you make up words, everything is poop on your head or poop, and she just runs away laughing, which is awesome.
That's not age specific, though.
No, it's great. Maya, what's her, besides being extremely cute?
Yeah, that's kind of her charm right now. Yeah. I mean, she's not incredibly interactive. I mean, you know, she's certainly very alert now and starting to do a lot of babbling and stuff like that, but not incredibly interactive. So I don't know that I have a story.
You can show a picture of her. That's all you need.
Yeah.
But this could evolve into a fathership. Hey, you know what? We probably consume and think less about arts and culture and music, fortunately or unfortunately, nowadays. And
yeah,
I think more about poop.
I mean, we've talked about this before, where like I'm really pretty comfortable now with the fact that I can't keep up with everything that I used to. I just can't. And there was a time that even the thought of that really bothered me, like really bothered me. And it's not about that. It's just about seeking out the things that you do like, and that the things that you do come across and that you find that you enjoy them and you consume those things. But like I can't wig out about like all the things I'm not consuming or all the things I'm not experiencing. I just have to enjoy the things that I am. Actually, interesting story was. So the new Ben Folds album, Nick Hornby wrote all the lyrics, and then Ben Folds wrote the music. And there's a bonus track at the end of the album where there's like just this guy talking, and the guy is saying things like, he's like, you know, the universe is this big and there's this many planets, and he's like, you know, doing all those stats. It's like a Scottish guy or something, and he's like. He just talks about the massive expanse of the universe and everything. He's like, but yet it's so hot out and then he finishes off by going, we need bread, and it's so hot out that I can't be bothered to walk around the corner, right? Like that kind of stuff. And then he starts talking about the amount of, he's like, you know, something like, you know, in 1527 there were like 300 books, you know, published that year or put out that year, you know, and now there's that many every second or something like that, you know? And it's like, you know, and just all these stats, it can get you crazy. There's no way you can possibly keep on top of all of it. And in some ways that's kind of liberating, because it's just like, well, you have to enjoy the things you do experience and not stress for the things that you can't, because you can't possibly,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh. And also maybe that is prioritizing in that way is something that probably should have happened a long time ago, even before kids. And kids, they help you recognize or realize what's important, what's not important.
Yeah.
Even like relationships that you have, you know? I read once someone wrote like, kids help you, or something like, make you drop friends that you probably should have dropped 6 years ago, or, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, you know, and that was the thing that I thought about when I was listening to that when I was in the plane, kind of looking down over this expanse of just nothingness over Nevada or something like that. And I was thinking to myself, you know, and really, why should I get wigged out that I can't consume things that other people create, right? Like, in the end, like, yeah, you can be moved by things that other people create, but they're other people just like you. So, like, do I have to wig out that I can't consume everything that every other person puts together, whether I like it or not? I mean, it's really more about what's one level up? And it's about the things that you can experience. So you can experience that, you know, those interactions with your kids, or you can experience, like, you know, looking at an amazing waterfall or being in nature, or these things that are like way beyond what a human could create. And I feel like those are the things I want to make sure I don't miss.
Are you stoned?
I am. Double rainbow. It's so intense.
You almost got to a double rainbow.
Whatever. I'm just talking crap.
That's all right. No, I agree.
All right. We got to wrap it, fellas.
All right. I think we're going to end the show with a song by one of Todd's selections.
Well, it is an American holiday around the corner, Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Certainly not for Native Americans, I don't think. But
no, you know what? Do you know any Native Americans?
No.
I don't. I know. You do?
I am.
Well, come on. How much apart?
Now it's probably only like a 16th.
16th? Which
part? When you were young, how much was it?
Yeah.
it has diluted over the years.
Let's just say I could wear a headdress around Smithtown and people would be like, that's pretty cool because he's like an 8th Indian.
Mohawk Iroquois. My great-great-grandmother, her name was Princess Blue Sky.
Well, you have a Native American face, I think.
Thank you.
You have like a strong bone structure, right? Don't you think? You got like strong cheekbones and the... You look like a cigar store Indian.
Thank you.
Wow.
Anyway. It's more than that, though. More than the face. The big thing that's passed down is the eyes.
Oh.
Mael actually has... Wide shit. It's like eyes that actually have a little bit of a slant.
Mm-hmm. Almond-shaped.
Yeah.
My kids have almond-shaped eyes. Juliet does. We have no Native American ears. No. Nothing of.
Anyway.
Do you know any pilgrims?
I don't know any pilgrims.
You know, it'd be weird if people were still, you know, like the Amish still dress like silly people, and the Hasidics dress like, you know, their silliness.
Yeah.
What I guess what they call culture, I call silliness.
Yeah.
It'd be funny if there was still like a sect of people who were like.
But just, how far are the Amish from the pilgrims?
Not very far.
They're
different. Oh, no, it's different religion and different, you know. But it would just be neat to be like, oh, this part of Massachusetts is a pilgrim colony. There's and you go there, pilgrims. It's just a big dumb belt buckles and dumb hats.
First of all, they weren't pilgrims anyway.
It would be tough to call them pilgrims.
Anybody who's striking out into a new place is a pilgrim.
Is a pilgrim, that's what I'm saying.
They weren't pilgrims.
Without
the
pilgrimage, it would be tough to be a pilgrim.
They weren't Mennonites. They were something.
Puritans.
They were Puritans.
Yeah, they're Puritans. I know, but I'm saying...
Well, the Midwest...
I'm just saying, but if I'm not saying they were this, I'm saying it's like kind of like steampunks where a group of people decided to be like, I really like that look and that lifestyle. Yeah. We're going to create a village like community of pilgrims.
Yeah.
Where we're, you know, we live by the Puritan religion and work ethic.
There must be Puritans around, like, right? That's conservative. Yeah. That's what they are, right?
Sure.
Anyway. Let's not dwell on pilgrims, but this is called Super America. Super America by The Bad Plus, if you ask me, one of the most, if not the most, interesting experimental jazz groups working today from their new album called Never Stop.
And can I leave us on a note? Let's be thankful for everything, and let's all make a concerted effort to befriend a Native American.
Good.
Does Russ count?
No. A real one.
Happy holiday.